Luke chapter 23. Tonight, as we move closer to the cross, we are going to look at Jesus and his examination by Pilate. We're looking at just five verses tonight, but oh, the telling of our Lord in his conversation with Pilate. Did you find your place there in Luke chapter 23? Let's begin reading verses 1 through 5. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying he that himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "Thou sayest it." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." And they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place." Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight, shall we? Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight and we thank you for your mercy and for your grace and for your goodness. Lord, we are so in awe that you would leave the portals of glory and you would come down here and sacrifice and lay down your life for us. And Lord, how many people do not know you and how many people do not see what you came to share? The tragedy, Lord. The tragedy isn't in your work, for your work is complete, your work is perfect, and your work is our hope. No, the tragedy is the lack of belief. So Lord, tonight, as we come to your word, I pray that you would spill our hearts open with your hope. Lord Jesus, I pray that in this next few moments of our midweek worship, that we would see your beauty, we would see your grace, we would see your authority. Lord Jesus, please be in this place tonight as we gather around your word, and we ask these things in your name. Amen. Tonight's word for the name of Jesus is Christ. We have gone through this study from week after week after week. You have found that the word Christ is connected with his title of the Anointed One. It's a title of his messiahship. It all comes down to the truth of Jesus being Israel's Messiah, the Redeemer of mankind. And it is this word, it is his title as Christ, that have the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, are Pilate. Last week we looked at what Judas taught us of Jesus. Tonight we are going to see what Pilate teaches us about Judas, about Jesus. So we find out in the Luke chapter 23, right there in verse 1, we find out in Luke's gospel, he's going to jump right to us and tell us that Jesus has been taken to Pilate. Now, why in the world would he go to Pilate? Jesus was sent to Pilate because Pilate was the prefect of the region. He was a governor, per se. He was a representative of the Roman Emperor Tiberius, who was over the region. And the chief priests and the scribes, having tried Jesus in a very hasty trial where the judgment was already determined before he'd even come to trial, they determine among themselves that they want to see Jesus put to death. Now, I want to say, if you're ever trying to do something, that's exactly what was intended. The chief priests and the scribes were working hard to bring about Jesus' desire to go to the cross for humanity. That they worked together in accord to bring him to Pilate because they knew that Pilate was the one who had the power to pronounce judgment to send him to the cross. When you consider in the mind of God what he accomplished in these few moments, he is able to accomplish his will, yet at the same time not give any one of these leaders the credit, give any one of these leaders, these players in the story, the opportunity to alone who sent Jesus to the cross. Now, we're going to look in just a few moments as to who that actually was. But did you notice the charges as we looked in verse 2? They bring a charge against Jesus, saying that he has been accused of perverting the nation, of forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king. These are the charges that are brought to Pilate, that Jesus is stirring up trouble amongst the Roman government, that Jesus is teaching his followers to refuse to pay their taxes. And lastly, that Jesus identifies himself as a king. It's interesting, as we'll look later at Herod's response, not tonight, but when we look at Herod's response and Pilate's response, they, being, I suppose, good leaders of their region, certainly had some understanding of what was going on. And it's amazing to see how Pilate answers these charges that were brought against. Remember, the charges are that he's perverting the nation, he's trying to stir up a rebellion, that he's teaching his followers to refuse to pay taxes, and that he identifies as a king. Look down with me in verse 3. Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou king of the Jews?" Of all three of those offenses, subverting the government, refusing to pay taxes, it's that last one that Jesus identifies as a king that has Pilate's interest. I think if you were in charge of a region and someone brings an allegation that someone is trying to stir up trouble in the government, you want to get down to the bottom of it because you want to make sure that there is peace in the region. So the chief priests and scribes, they are stirring up the pot, telling that Jesus is trying to rise up in rebellion. They're also teaching that Jesus is refusing to pay taxes, or they're telling Pilate this. And if there's anything that a governor should be concerned about, is making sure that all of the money that's supposed to come in comes in. That's one of his responsibilities of managing the region, to make sure that all of his coffers are full so he can ship it back to Rome and Rome can receive the money that's due in taxes and tributes. Two very important charges for Pilate: a rebellion and tax evaders. But Pilate only addresses the one credible issue: Jesus, art thou king of the Jews? Now, it's amazing as we look at Luke's gospel that it just moves right through it. As we look at the other gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, they are very brief here. We know that he's going to be bounced over to Herod and then come back to Pilate before Pilate makes an offer of someone to release in Jesus' place. But it is John's gospel that sheds some light on the conversation that Jesus has with Pilate. I'm looking at John chapter 18, verses 33 through 38. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, saying, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" It's interesting. Pilate knows an opportunity to answer these charges when he asks, "What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." What an interesting answer that Jesus gives. Pilate wants to know if he's king of the Jews, and Jesus answers, "My kingdom is not of this world." What does he answer there? Well, he answers that credible threat about Jesus stirring up a rebellion. I mean, that sounds, why wouldn't Pilate go back to that one? Because Jesus has said, his kingdom's not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. This isn't a threat that he's making. He's demonstrating, he's illustrating the whole otherworldly nature of his kingdom, that he himself is a king. The world has never seen a kingdom likened unto Jesus' kingdom. And he says here at the end of verse 36, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Literally, it's not from here. Pilate hears Jesus answer this question, are you a king? And Jesus says, my kingdom. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate's asked again. He's actually not asking the question again as he's trying to get Jesus to say the question. His response here is now, I've asked you if you were a king, and you say, my kingdom is not of this world, so then you must be a king. Jesus says right here, to this end, this is the reason why I was born, and for this cause came out of this world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Remember that. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Remember that. Pilate saith unto him, what is a truth? And when he said this, he went out unto the Jews and saith unto them all, I find no fault in him at all. When Pilate asks Jesus the question, are you the king of the Jews? He's wanting to get to the heart of the matter. Are you as they say you are? Art thou a king? And Jesus asks Pilate there in the very beginning, is this what you're saying, or are you going off of what others have told you? Now it's remarkable here that the conversation that takes place is very straightforward. It moves very quickly as Pilate and Jesus are interacting one between the other. But I would like to stop and say this. The statement that Pilate makes is very applicable and very relevant for each and every one of us. Because as people, it all comes down to this question, do we agree that Jesus is who he says he is? Or do we agree that other people have told us he's the king of the Jews, the king of kings, the Lord of lords? It makes all the difference in the world how that question is answered, because it makes one answer, makes Jesus a personal savior. He is who he claims to be, I believe. And on the other hand, he's just someone that you've heard about, which is what we see with Pilate's response. Pilate hears what Jesus says. He has personal time with Jesus, and Pilate's response, as he throws up his head, is, what is truth? And goes out to release Jesus back to the chief priests. This question that Jesus asks him, is this what you say or others have told you? It's a very, very important part of the gospel presentation, because it's that moment where each and every person that hears the gospel has that crisis where they have to move from unbelief to belief, where they have to grapple with the question, is Jesus who he says he is? That's the application that I see here. But in the moment, in the story, we need to stop and remember who's talking to who. Jesus and Pilate. Pilate, the highest representative in the region as far as the Roman government's concerned. He's a representative of the emperor of Rome. Jesus himself, the king of the Jews, the king of our hearts, is here in a private conversation with Pilate. You have a conversation where two parties are not equals. You have a conversation here where two people are talking and one has power and authority invested in him, but the one who is all power and authority invested in him. And as Pilate moves to ask the question, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" So you are the king of the Jews. The question comes, does Pilate really have the power to end the conversation here? Is he really the one in charge and in control? Because if Pilate does have the authority to cut the conversation off, after he's examined Jesus, after he makes judgment, just to step right on out and go, here's what happens. Pilate is the one whom put Jesus on the cross. Oh, I know we're not there yet. We're skipping ahead because Pilate's going to pass him off to Herod. Herod's going to bounce him back after they mock him. And then Pilate's going to let the crowd decide what the chief priests and the scribes desire. But Pilate doesn't have the authority here. He doesn't have the power to end the conversation as Jesus is going to tell him about his kingdom not being of this world. That's a big deal. Because you have to remember, even though Pilate represents the leader of a small region in the known world at that time, under the Roman Empire, and he's accountable to the emperor. The emperor is not the largest power in this world. It's Jesus. And Jesus' answer that his kingdom is not of this world is a beautiful and a remarkable statement to know that his kingdom doesn't operate the way we are used to the way things operate here. As political trouble, as political turmoil moves across this world, Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. You know, there's a word that we use. We use it, and it's not a very flattering term. Maybe you've heard this term, Christendom. You heard that before? Christendom is not a favorable term. Christendom is the idea of a world governed by people who believe they're acting in Jesus' interest. And we see as we look through the Dark Ages where Christendom was really spread throughout the world, it was called the Dark Ages for a reason, because there was a far more oppressive governing body in the world, and it wasn't Roman soldiers. It was the church. The church in Jesus' name. Christendom. No, Jesus is establishing that his kingdom is not of this world. When Pilate asks, so you are a king, when he asked that question of Jesus, it is remarkable, Jesus' answer. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Here he's asked him again, you're the king. You're the king that they say you are. And Jesus explains his purpose, that he should bear a witness of the truth. But if you've read through John's gospel, you know that Jesus has revealed that he is. John 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He came into this world to reveal the truth. And what is that truth? Certainly his kingdom would be filled with believers, people who, if his kingdom were of this world, the followers would have rallied together and they would have fought to keep him from being taken. But his kingdom's not of this world. And Jesus reveals that his purpose is coming for as a king, as that his purpose was to reveal the truth. and his kingdom would be filled with believers as he answers Pilate, "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Now, I want to say something. Pilate has had an opportunity to sit with Jesus in a very intimate opportunity to ask Jesus big questions, and he has asked Jesus big questions. And Jesus' response, time and time again, are so full of grace. "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Have you ever heard something but didn't really hear it? You see a reality or you understand a problem, but the magnitude never really just washes over with you. I was working on a problem before the service, and it was just kind of overwhelming when I realized, hey, the magnitude is, I thought that I had it understood. I don't. It's really big. But what Pilate has done here, as he has heard this question, he's asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And that's a loaded question, because the word Christ, the Messiah, the deliverer, that's a very big, important aspect. Children of Israel are looking for their deliverer. The chief priests and the scribes, they're looking for their Messiah. They just reject Jesus as the Messiah. And the problem with rejecting Jesus as Messiah is that you've rejected your Messiah. As though there's going to be another opportunity to do over. "God, we don't like this one. Send us another one." But the hard truth and the wonderful truth is that there was a time, there was a moment in your life where you had to wrestle and grapple with that question: is Jesus the King? It is that moment, maybe it was in a Sunday school, maybe it was in a church service, wherever it was, where someone took the scriptures and shared the good news with you. It might have been very easy to move beyond that, to realize, hey, Jesus is who he said he was. The Word of God says it. I believe it. I trust it. I accept it. The hard part, and you'd probably attest to this with me along these lines, is that trusting Jesus as king is relatively easy. Living every day that Jesus is my king is not easy. It's easy to say. It's hard to live out in the manner of conversation of our entire life, because it is transforming. It's why we turn from sin into him, because we realize that the allure, the beauty of sin, there's no beauty there. It's wicked. It's empty. Satisfaction is only in Jesus. And we find after this moment that Pilate does not leave the conversation a believer. We see it in John 18, verse 38. Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" There in the room, Jesus, who came to reveal the truth, Jesus, who is the truth, there in that moment with Pilate, Pilate leaves, "What is truth?" As he goes out to turn Jesus back over to the chief priests and the Sanhedrin, it's interesting to think that Jesus would not ultimately go to the cross because of Pilate's authority. Oh, sure, that's the reason why they appealed to Pilate in the first place, because he was the one who could pronounce that death sentence. It would not be Pilate's authority that would send Jesus to the cross, as we've just seen. It'd be Pilate's unbelief. And sadly, Pilate's unbelief is like every person in this world comes into this world unbelieving. It's like you and me. Jesus went to the cross not because a group of leaders decided that's where they wanted to put him, or because Pilate had the power to put him there. Jesus went to the cross and in his own power laid down his life for unbelief. And when I describe Jesus to you as a beautiful Savior, this is the greatest picture that I can present to you of him. The Savior who willingly lays down his life And for all who believe and trust in him, there is everlasting life. But he lays down his life in the face of unbelief because unbelief is rampant in this world. He came that men might believe. He gave his life because men did not believe. And Pilate didn't see the truth. Most familiar Psalms in all of the book of Psalms. Psalm 22 ends up in verses 28 through 31. And let me just tell you that Psalm 22 is a lament song. It is a psalm about someone who has been left forgotten and they're hurting and they're feeling all alone, but this is how it ends, 28 through 31. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. And all they that be fed upon this earth shall eat and worship, and they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep his own soul. A seed shall serve him, it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Remember the question of the hour? Remember the question that Pilate's asked, art thou the king of the Jews? Oh, it's a pot stirrer that the chief priests have brought Jesus before Pilate to answer this question. Remember, he's stirring up trouble, he's refusing to pay taxes, and he thinks himself a king. And here's the problem with kings of this earth. Limited authority. A political king rules inside of the geographical boundaries of his kingdom. They're limited. They're limited by national lines. But remember, Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. It's not set. That's why we have missionaries around the world in as many countries as we can support right now, sharing the gospel, because we know that it is not just here in America that Jesus is important. It's not just here in America that the message that Jesus saves is important. But the entire world that we live in is all subject to this king that we saw in Psalm 22. And only King Jesus came with the authority to set his subjects free. Jesus closing tonight in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30, telling his disciples in a very tender moment, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Remember, the one who hears the truth is the one who follows him. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And if there were ever a need for that question to be settled, Jesus has already settled it. He and the Father are one. Are you the King of the Jews? He is the King of the universe. And as we look at Jesus in this moment, do you see the gospel in his name, Christ, Deliverer, Anointed One, Messiah? It's there. Tonight's gospel presentation through the life of Pilate dealt with the struggle of belief and unbelief. But the answer that was true when you put your faith and trust in Jesus when you were a small boy or a small girl is still the same answer today and will be the same answer tomorrow. Yesterday, today, forever the same. Jesus Christ, the King who laid down his life, who came to bear that truth of who he was, who he is, and what he has the power, what he has the authority to do. Oh, what a wonderful Savior we serve. I hope that this is brought us to a place of worship tonight as we see Jesus in his tender responses to Pilate in his unbelief. Tonight, as we close with our prayer, I'd like to remind you tonight, we've got a few names up here. There's a young man, Wesley Allen. It was a young man that we just heard about recently. He'd be the son of the Michelle that's on the list. He has been taken with a very strange disorder. He's taken on some violent tics and some, I don't know how to describe it. The doctors didn't know what to describe it. They thought that he had some kind of mental problem. But having done some further medical tests, he has this bizarre strain of streptococcus that has caused him to go into these seizures, and it's just constant. It's nothing that lets up. It's just constant seizures. And the doctors have put him on some strong medication. They think he's going to be several weeks before he's out of this, so the family had asked us to remember to pray for them. His mother was the woman who had the surgery that Melina has been asking about that is on a slow recovery there. Of course, Blake Beaver, tonight, remembering him and his continuing struggles there in the hospital. Ernie Boone, Bill Bradshaw, Mary Bradshaw. Linda Campbell, this is Brother Fillmore's sister, and her surgery was today. They postponed the surgery, so they're going to see what they can do. But please remember, Jack is just having a difficult time. Don't think that he'll be able to go back home. So remember Jack Godley. Wayne Hughbanks was struggling with pneumonia. Is that right, Miss Carolyn?
Yeah.
Struggling with pneumonia. David Long, of course, still receiving treatment. Robbie Medley trying to get stronger. Jeff Myers. John O'Malley with the Worldwide New Testament Baptist Mission was going in today for open heart surgery. So please remember him and his recovery. Of course, the mayor of Graham, Jerry Peterman. Joanne Regal has a procedure coming up in a few weeks. Marvin Regal continuing to cover. Lisa Rash, Clarence Robertson, Robbins, Miss Carolyn. Any update on Brother Clarence? He cracked a rib and fell this weekend. All right, his just balance has been off, and so remember him. Rick Robertson. Of course, Dinky Smith. Please remember our church ministries. There is just a tremendous load that our church families go through that you don't know of all the problems that go on around here, but there's just so much to pray for because the church isn't a building. Yeah, the church is a building, and there's light bills, and there's water bills, and there's responsibilities and things that have to go forward, but the church is us. And us as people, we have our problems. You know, the church itself has its own pressures on the, just paying the bills and all of that. But pray for one another. Remember the camp ministry. It's been a very challenging season this summer. The Lord did a great work out there. And we still have a few more retreats left. I've been out there this week mowing and cleaning up out there, getting ready for one of our final retreats of the year. And I can't, I just want you to know how wonderful it is what the Lord has blessed with us in the ministry of Camp Deer Lake. And I'm just so grateful for your support to that ministry. Of course, Andrew's Memorial Readiness School, remember to pray for that ministry. So many, just so many stories we could tell you about the ministries here at the church. But I want you to know, ministries are to people. And it's us. We need to remember to pray for one another. This week, remember to pray for the Rock of Ages Prison Ministries, heard from their report, and Piedmont Rescue Mission. Let's go ahead to the Lord in prayer now. I'm going to invite you to pray there at your pew. You're welcome to come down front, wherever you would feel most comfortable taking a prayer posture. Maybe you want to pray with someone together, but let's take a few moments to go to the Lord in prayer as we are dismissed in this time.